winning trophies. I'm inexperiencing a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, by the hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir, how you doing? How you doing? United win big 2-1 against Brighton. Smash the Seagulls at home, sir. It wasn't pretty. It was a tale of two halves once again. But all that matters is 3 points, that top four looking more and more secure. How you feeling? How you doing? Happy Easter.
Sir, doing absolutely great. 3 points is 3 points is 3 points is 3 points. Chelsea bottle it against West Brom. Spurs drop. Leicester drop. Everyone's dropping. United playing like we've seen them. We've seen this movie before, but we're winning. And that don't matter because when you're Manchester United, you look at that table, you got 9 points cushion. Sir, it's like the princess and the pea. It's like you got plenty of mattresses in between you and the bottom of sweating top four. Obviously, we're not going to be getting there in the league, but that I'm going to sleep very, very well at night knowing that we got 9 points to fourth.
9 points to fourth. And also, you know, I know the league, that ship has sailed. But at the end of the day, I think second is important for this team, is important for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And now it's 4 points because maybe Leicester City could have done us a favor yesterday. I actually wanted them to win. Not worried about top four. I was still worried about that title. But, you know, with them, with City winning, it's over. That thing's gone. But at the end of the day, I want us to finish heads and shoulders apart from the rest, right? Second, best of the rest. And that's important for this team. So today was a big win. Shit performance at times. Brutal. I was not happy. Pulling the last of my hair out, sir. I didn't really enjoy much of it until we got those first and second goals. Made it hard at times, you know, slow, meandering. But at the end of the day, like you said, 3 points is 3 points, and that's all that matters. This is a results-based business, and we got a big result today.
Absolutely. But you know what? As a fan, you got to be backing your team at the hardest moments. And these last couple of matches, we've been scraping results out of the bottom of the bin, sir. It's been tough to watch at times, but that's, as a supporter, that's when you're challenged the most. It's frustrating. It's tough, but you got to dig in, and you want the boys to dig in like they did today, right? You play a horrible second half, first half. You come out in the second half looking pretty horrible as well, but they find a way to win the game. That's what it's about. That is what Manchester United is all about. You can play ugly, but you got to win. It's all about results for Manchester United. And right now, Champions League football looks to be locked up. And I am absolutely, you know, gonna big shout out to Hans and Franz. Gonna miss them here on the pod, you know. But the Champions League music, there's nothing like it, sir. I think listening to the Hans and Franz makes you realize there's nothing like the Champions League music.
There's nothing, sir. You're not quite done with Hans and Franz. You know, you're not going to escape with that easily, sir.
No,
you don't lose Hans and Franz overnight. It's just not happening.
No, but I actually, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, you know, it's been a tough international break. Tony Martial, he's down. Unknown when he's going to come back. Rashford went to England, even though he's pretty much walking on one leg. Luke Shaw's getting run out. Harry Maguire's getting run out. Bruno's getting run out. All these critical players that need rest are not getting it. Arguably Cavani or South American players are, but it's just one of those things where I was just worried that, you know, a slip up at Brighton, just like everybody else slipped up. And then all of a sudden we could be in this nervy race for top four at the end of the season. And that's what you see, a performance like this. It's ugly, but sometimes you got to fight in the mud. You got to win dirty, sir. And it's even better when you see everyone else falling by the wayside, especially Thomas Tuchel. Nobody likes that guy.
Nobody. I'll tell you what, starting with this room. But you're right, because we talk a lot of, there's a lot of recurring themes on this pod. There's a lot of recurring themes with this team. And one of them has been, when the people around us that we're competing against fall, do we take advantage or do we fall with them, sir? And today, you know, some people come out of international breaks hotter than ever. A lot of their players weren't used and they're ready to rock. Some of us had players all over playing. And you know what? Some of the other teams that are fighting for top four, I hate to say that, but it is true, fighting for top four, which we're doing, they slipped up. And today we could have easily slipped up. We gave up a pretty soft goal early to Danny Welbeck's magic. And it could have been it. Could have been all she wrote. But instead we fought back, got the win, got those 3 points. And that does have a huge effect on the team. It gives us a lot of momentum going into Granada, going into Spurs the following weekend. A lot of big games coming up, sir, but you know, none of them are easy. You knew Brighton was not going to be easy. You knew it'd be like this. You knew it'd be like tooth and nail the whole time, but all that matters is getting that result. 2-1, baby. On to the next one. Let's go.
No, and look, could United play better? Absolutely, sir. I'm the first one to admit
that. I hope
so. But when you're looking at this season, the, you know, the pandemic, everything these players have been through, and then all of our best players need rest, playing an international break, World Cup qualifying, games that really matter. It's just been a hell of a ride. And I think that's what you're seeing from every team. Teams are breaking down. It has to happen. We've been playing so much football for so long. And like you said, coming out of an international break, it was a tough international break. Losing Martial, what do you mean? Like Deschamps said it was no big deal. Then I'm hearing he could not feature for the rest of the year. I mean, I don't like Didier Deschamps that much, you know, like that guy. I got a bone to pick with Deschamps, my man. And it's just like coming out of international break, it's like to get this win could spur something, you know. Ole streaky, this team is streaky. I'd much rather give a goal up early, come and claw back a win, than like be like Spurs and hit two and then give up two for the draw, right? You know, you and that's what it's all about too as a United fan. When you come to late in the season, it's all about that table. It's all about where you sit at the table. And I'm telling you, I'm looking at a lot of teams. Chelsea, have a laugh. I think we're getting a nice steak dinner for that one too, sir. You know, we have a lot of bets here. And when Manchester United are just, you know, creating space at the top in the second position, you know, it's important. That's important for fans. It's important for this team and important for this manager to finish a strong second. And if we do it by eking out Brighton, nobody's going to win it. Remember it at the end of the year.
They're not, because it's all about the results. It's all about the scoreboard. And you know what? You want it so that there's only two Champions League spots up for grabs instead of three. I want it to be like second so far away that the Scousers and Chelsea and who else are fighting for Spurs, they don't think they even got a shot at second. They're fighting for third or fourth, because that's how it should be. It should be this point in the race. We have 4 points ahead of Leicester. We shouldn't look back. Spurs, it's going to be a hard one. We got the Scousers still. There's some big games to play. But hey, we got to play better than we played today, my man. We got to play better than that, because that was no good. And we won. And we you know, we eked it out. It just felt one of those games like, damn, we won that? Because we did not play well.
No, it's just, it's the, sure, they pack it in, slow pat. You know, we can go through it. We've talked about it so many times in this podcast. But, you know, hey, nothing like getting 3 points, especially when everyone else is dropping, sir. Let's get into the PSA for the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils, we are for fans, by fans. We do not have any private sponsors on the podcast. It's just Alex and myself giving you that biased fan take from the couch. Our vision is to be fan-funded, fan-backed, fan-owned, fan-everything, sir. We don't want any special interests like Eddie Woodward and Maui Jim pulling the strings at the American Red Devils. If you'd like to support us, the best way to do so is Patreon. Check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We upload a exclusive Patreon podcast episode every month. We have a mailbag there. We answer all questions. And if you want to join, you can sign up for 4 tiers, anything from $1 a month to $20. We're giving away pins, shirts, stickers, scarves, you name it, sir. A great way to support the podcast. If you're not into Patreon, check out our website, www.americaredevils.com. Click on store. We have our new pins, blankets, scarves, sir. We got beanies. It's great merch. Check it out. Anything you pick up supports the podcast directly. Especially in this time with the Glazer ownership, it's important to support fan-generated content, independent content, sir. Also, check out our blog. We have great articles from fans around the world. That's what this whole platform is about. That's what the American Red Devils are about. Sir, tell them how they could give us a review on iTunes.
iTunes reviews are one of the best ways for the American Red Devils to get found, and they're absolutely free way for you to support the pod. All you have to do, write a 5-star review on iTunes. If it's cheeky, even better. Send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and we will send you some free Stanley Chow design stickers to your door. Absolutely free, sir. And post went up, but it's free, because that's a great way to support the pod, sir. And what else we got?
Sir, you can follow us on Google News. Our blog feed is there as well. And big shout out to Stanley Chow. He came on during international break. We tried to get you some good content during international break because the pod never sleeps. Let's get into it, sir. Manchester United 2, Brighton and Hove Albion 1. A lot of people, they drop the Hove Albion. We do not here at the American Red Devils. was it Old Trafford? Let's get into that lineup. We had Dean, number 1.5, number 1. A lot of controversy in the press there. I think both him and De Gea are pretty good, so I'm not going to try to get into that. Luke Shaw on the left, Maguire, Lindelof, center back pairing, Wan-Bissaka on the right, Pogba, Fred, midfield, Fred, undroppable, Rashford on the left, Fernandez in the hole, Greenwood on the right, and Cavani at number 9, sir. Take me home, Cavani, back to Uruguay. What do you think of that lineup?
Take me home, United Road, sir. This is a solid lineup. I really liked it. I was excited by the front four. The only thing I didn't like is that I'd never seen Pogba and Fred play well together in my entire life. Pogba and Matic, I think like Matic is his boy. If you're going to play Pogba in that holding midfield, I don't think there's anyone better to stand behind him than Nemanja Matic. So that would be my change. Other than that, sir, in the words of the American Red Devils, this lineup should be good enough to beat Brighton.
No, I think I say that every podcast.
That's true.
I got a tweet, and I did say, somebody tweeted me, it says, like, cue John saying this lineup should be Brighton. Yes, this lineup, this Manchester United should always be Brighton. But it kind of goes to say, like, does it really matter if you play Modric or Fred? Like, we should win, you know? And that's how I think of Manchester United. So maybe, you know, I think too highly of Manchester United because Brighton, sir, let's get into it. They came out, we came out hot, but then they got back in it.
They certainly did. So United came out quick enough, but shortly we turned off. Had a good chance. We were, like, kind of pinning them back early. Greenwood actually hit the post in the 8th minute after we had Brighton pinned down, sir. But 13th minute. It was our boy Danny Welbeck who thought he'd have the last laugh.
Him, right wing back. Pass comes in towards Welbeck. What a save that is by Dean Henderson. But Welbeck taps home the rebound in front of the Stretford end. And once again, Danny Welbeck scores against his former club, Manchester United.
That's enough, Arlo White. Sir, I don't know what Lindelof was doing. He kind of had what happened to McTominay against Leicester when he just absolutely whiffed on a header and it fell right to Welbeck. Nice save, you must say, from Dino for the first one, but Danny, like a good striker, just follows up that ball and hammers it home. Looks like United got to do it the hard way, my man.
Dude, Lindelof, Iceman. Your nickname's the Iceman. You had that. You know, if you've seen Top Gun, you've seen the volleyball scene. He's got ups, sir. Val Kilmer, he's got ups. He's going to get that out of there. So if you want the Iceman nickname, you got to be heading that ball. Bad error from Lindelof there. And Welbeck, I mean, you know, the Manchester United striker formerly known as Danny Welbeck. I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's a good goal for him.
It is. It's a great poacher's goal, striker's goal. And I like what you said when we watched the game. It was like a keen better would have bet first goal scorer, Danny Welbeck, all day. And you're right. It's like he totally was scoring first with this United side.
Dude, we all know, like, United managers, ex-players who are managers or ex-players who come back, they're always going to give you a serious run, sir.
No, they are, sir. And, you know, that first half was ugly because it could have gotten a lot uglier for United. 19th minute, Dunk almost made it 2-0. United sloppy passing, giving the ball away too easily and far too slow with it. 31st minute, Cavani overhits a really easy pass to Rashford, who was on. It was a poor half for United. Sir, 38th minute, we had a little bit better. Bruno linking up with Pogba, but it was only a half chance. He blazes wide. And then right before the end of the first half, Brighton almost score again, but the ball just drifts wide. So I think United were lucky to go in only one down.
Well, you know, I think what we're seeing is, you know, I hate to say it, but it's a lot of fatigue because, you know, United come out hot, playing high at the pitch, pressing, high intensity, and then we just kind of break. And then we do have a lot of the ball, but we can't, you know, it's the slow passing, sir, side to side. There's not a lot of action. You know, something about the intensity that we lose. We kind of let up in a game. And especially letting up after Welbeck scores, you think United would, like, turn it up. And maybe that's because we're not seeing fans at Old Trafford. But, you know, United just kind of going through the motions at the end of the half here. It was frustrating. What do you think Ole's telling the lads at halftime?
I wouldn't even let them on the bus after the match. Get a taxi back to Manchester.
I'll tell you what, you play two halves of football like that, they would have all been shipped off in cabs, sir. No one. I mean, I know we're home, so maybe they'll tow their cars. But I hope he was chewing them out, sir. I mean, like we talked about it before, this is the type of have that was so bad you would have expected a change at halftime.
You think Ole chews people out?
No, clearly not, but he should be. Because, dude, they were bad, bad. And the last 90 minutes we saw, we were shit too. After that Leicester game, you know, fans are fired up. Everyone's calling. You know, some fans are calling for Ole's head because they know how important silverware is. You would have liked to see a response from the jump against the Brighton side. So I'm not calling for his head. I'm just making a point. Is that, like, they were shit against Leicester. This is a big game against a team that should be winnable. That's in a relegation fight. You got to go out and stomp them. And we gave them too much credit. We gave them too much respect. And they, like, dude, they had a good chance to put it 2-0 up. So I hope Ole was saying something to the boys that have to get them up. They certainly played a little better in the second. Pieced together some goals.
I think, yes. But, you know, to come out at half, to my point about I don't think Ole does lash out at them, we came out looking exactly the same how we finished the first. And that was concerning. And, you know, until Rashford, a little moment of brilliance from error from Brighton, a moment of brilliance from Bruno and Rashford. I mean, the ball from Bruno, amazing. The finish from Rashford, amazing. There was not a lot doing. So, you know, this kind of changed the whole game right here.
No, you're right. Sir, I went to this game second half. I was like, we're not coming back at this game because we looked exactly the same as the first. Anyway, like you said, sir, 62nd minute. Nothing happened until then, but the 62nd minute, Marcus Rashford, he had his say.
There's possibilities here. Fernandes into Rashford. Rashford, what a finish! Oh, it's a beautiful equalising goal out of nothing for Manchester United. Set up by Bruno Fernandes, and Rashford opened his hips up sensationally.
I mean, a beautiful finish, sir. Like an unbelievable first-time hit. Hits it just right, and what a goal. Because we did not have a lot of chances in this game, but Rashford taking his chance, and he's playing injured. Gutting it out. What a performance from Marcus.
No, and exactly. Exactly that. You want to talk about grit. Marcus Rashford has grit here. And Bruno, a perfect timing on the ball. White gets dragged, and then Rashford, despite the challenge coming in, still able to shape it, still able to get the finish that he wanted. And we've seen Rashford kind of miss these. But this one, huge goal for United, sublime pass and finish. And this is what it's about. That's why I think we're just – our key players, like, are absolutely haggard, man. You know, they got it. But for 90 minutes, it's like, come on.
No, they're pooped. Marcus included – Bruno's finally gotten some rest, but it was a huge goal because we didn't have a lot of chances, and just taking that chance was so important. So it was a great finish. Like you said, Rashford has missed some of those in the past. If he can get those down, he'll be scoring 30 goals a season, no problem. Because that, like, he gets in those positions. What a finish. Looks like a player a lot older than he is. Sir, 70th minute, Welbeck almost had his say. Wanted to be an instant hero for Brighton. He goes just wide, and then there ended up being a penalty shout, which I thought was a much ado about nothing, but they made a huge thing about it on NBC Sports. Arlo was blah, 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 blah. So I thought there's nothing in it. Little grab from Maguire, but that's not a penalty. No way.
Hey, you know what? Arlo White's not a fan of the pod. We aren't a fan of him. You know, Arlo here, he said, oh, it's a penalty. He was like, it's like, an announcer is like, you know, you're supposed to just kind of like call as you see it. But then afterwards he's like, from the angle I saw, that was a clear penalty. Like kind of like, what do you, like, are you just some like fan in the stands? Or are you like an actual announcer and just be like, you know, Welbeck misses and then they look at it, nothing doing here. Look, even, you know, Manchester United, hated a dog, never ignored, sir. I mean, a lot of people don't like Manchester United. They grew up getting beat by Manchester United. A lot of people work at NBC got beat by Manchester United. Anytime a penalty goes in against another team in our favor, people are going to be moaning. A lot of people are moaning about this one. The reason why traditionally it's not a penalty is there wasn't enough in, like, yes, did Maguire have an arm on the shoulder from behind? Yes, he did. Did it affect Welbeck? Yes, but Welbeck still had enough of a look at it where they're not going to give you two looks. You know, the penalty isn't to replace the look you had.
Right.
The penalty is if Maguire took him out and he never got a look, then it would be given. But since he did have a look and Maguire really didn't affect his opportunity to hit that in like a serious degree, that's why VAR didn't even look at it. They didn't even tell the ref to go to the monitor, sir. So, I mean, like, it's not a penalty, not a big deal. Shut your yap, Arlo White.
VAR looked nothing. So it was a quick look, but I think you said that right, sir. It's like he got a sniff, and that's all. You only get one sniff. You don't get two.
That's the way, but that's the way it's always been. You know, if you kind of get fouled, but you still kick it, it's like they're not going to give you a pen usually, you know?
Totally, dude. I hear you. 73rd minute. James came on for the limp in Rashford. Hopefully it's not too serious. Hopefully they knew he was always going to play 60, 70 minutes, but it looks worrisome. Sir Martial's out. Cavani, I didn't see him the whole game. And if Rashford goes down, we could be in trouble.
I'm surprised he played. You know, and to me, it sounds like it could be like something that it's an injury that basically he can play with and it just hurts. And then maybe he's due for surgery in the off season. You know, I don't know. It could be something where he doesn't feature for England. He needs an operation, but he can play. It just hurts. Seems like that.
Yeah, he's been a warrior either way, sir. 76th minute, Greenwood went close, but it was a tough chance. Mason, he was looking for his chance. 81st minute, Donny Van de Beek comes on for Cavani, who didn't have too much of an impact. And then 83rd minute, Mason, how you doing?
Towards the back post, Pogba with the volley, might fall here. It does, just in front of goal, and it's in. And Mason Greenwood has a Premier League goal for the first time since before Christmas. Well, Luke Shaw's ball with the outside of his boot into Bruno Fernandes was fabulous.
Sir, it was a choppy goal, but it was, you know what I like to see about it from Mason was it was a poacher's instinct. It was almost like Edison. He just got his head on it, and that's sometimes all it takes in those kind of crazy flash moments to get it past the line. So that was it. Such a huge goal for Mason Greenwood. A mature goal for a 19-year-old, really. So, big ups.
No, no better player to score that goal. But, you know, shout out to Paul Pogba, right? Luke Shaw, great cross. Pogba, was he trying to volley it, or was he trying to center it for Greenwood header? I think it was premeditated, partner, Paul Pogba. That's how good he is.
Dude, why not, sir? Why not? I like the sound of that. That sounds like some 3D chess, my man. Speaking of Paul Pogba, 84th minute, McSauce comes on for Pogba. And that's basically all she wrote. There are a couple like free kicks that got a little worrisome at the very end in stoppage time, just because we're Manchester United, we assumed it would go bad. But that was all she wrote. 3 points, big win, 2-1 against the Seagulls of the South Coast. Big game, sir.
No, you got to win ugly, you got to win pretty, and this was winning ugly. But it's also coming back, showing grit, and then who's involved? The academy, for Manchester United, sir. Big time, big shout out to the youth at Manchester United getting it done. Greenwood, that's what you love to see. He's going to be at the club forever. Rashford as well. Got to get him healthy, sir. A lot of matches. It's going to be a big finish to the season. Can't wait. We got Hans and Franz coming up shortly.
Get ready.
Before we get into that, we got the match stats here. United 59% of the ball to Brighton and Hove Albion 41%. Shots on target 7-3. Corners 5-6 kind of split down the middle, but you see the shots on target 7-3. That's really the difference. United, the better side today overall, but I would really say that was probably in a 30 minute span. You know, we really maybe to start the game for 10 and then to finish, got to be more consistent. Over 90 minutes, we got to be better. Match reaction, Manchester United have won 95 Premier League matches after conceding the first goal, 7 more than any other team in Premier League history, sir. Hated, adored, never ignored. And only Wayne Rooney and Marcus Rashford have scored more Premier League goals as a teenager for Manchester United other than Mason Greenwood, who has 12. Unbelievable. And Rashford has now scored 86 goals for Manchester United. Only 7 Manchester United players have scored more than him in the Premier League era. So he's going to be racking them up. He might be the all-time leading scorer for Manchester United. He might take that from Wayne Rooney, your boy. And Manchester United have reached 60 points after 30 games of a Premier League season for only the second time since Sir Alex Ferguson's retirement in 2013. Last time they did it was 17-18, sir, when Jose Mourinho, you know, woke up this morning feeling fine. Got Manchester United on my mind.
Number one troll. Number one troll in all of Manchester, sir. He's enjoying his time in London. I don't think so. Not so much.
Sir, what do we know? Let's check in with the manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Lenny, congratulations on the win. I know you've said before about the need for scruffy goals. Mason's probably scored better goals for United, but was that your favourite, given the importance of it and manner of it?
Yeah, definitely. So happy for him, pleased. You know, his overall performance again, very good. He was bright, he was tidy, he was clean on the ball, hit the post. One that he went over the bar, maybe deflected in the second half. And when he gets those goals, we know that he's going to add another dimension to his game. Very, very pleased.
James Cooper?
Ollie, I know it's a pleasing win. Is it also a sense of relief, bearing in mind that you've given a team a bit of a start, but this time come back and got all 3 points?
We've done that a few times this season, haven't we? And we're getting used to it. And that's, you know, you don't really want to be in a position 1-0 down. It was a sloppy mistake in midfield. We don't stop the cross. We don't defend the cross. So we gave ourselves work to do. And then I think we've done that so many times this season that the team doesn't panic. We know we have to build momentum, the performance, the ball has to move quicker. We have to move in more tandem with each other. And the two goals we scored were two good goals and deserved to win the game in the end, I felt.
Simon Peach.
Hi, Lynn. Could you just clarify the situation with Anthony Martial? I know
you spoke about it before the match.
Did Marcus pick up a knock as well? And can we expect to see David
De Gea between the sticks on Thursday and Bernard? First, Marcus, his foot, I think he got caught with a tackle, so he couldn't carry on. Of course, very unfortunate situation again, with Anthony being out for a few weeks. If we get him back before the end of the season, I'll be surprised. So he sprained his knee, which is not nice. When you know, you never know when they go away on internationals, but we've lost a very important player there. Then again, that's football for you. And with Dean and David's situation, I know it's something that will create headlines and fish and chips wrapping paper in a little while, but you know, I've got two great goalkeepers, and it's about now to find games that everyone will, all of them, both of them will play. Not in the same game, of course, but
all right, Ole, you're the man. Sir, what'd you make of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's comments?
Ole, Mr. Nice Guy, you're not getting anything from him, you know, but again, would you rather have the greatest troll in world football as your manager? You know, he just, everything's coming up roses for Ole in the presser. It doesn't really matter what he says there. What matters is we get the 3 points. You know, he addressed Martial. He's saying end of the season, done for the season. Can you imagine? Like, we need him to kick on. Martial never got going.
No, he didn't. He was only, you know, and I was like, usually you want your players to feature for their international teams. It means they're doing well, especially a team like France that's so competitive. This is the first one I was like, don't go, and then he's getting injured. It's a big loss because we're thin up front, really thin up front. Edinson just came back from injury. You know, he didn't look his top today. So, and if Marcus goes down with an injury, he's beaten up to crap, right? He's taken so many knocks between the back a year ago to the shoulder, to his ankle, to his foot. It's like he needs some rest. They all need some rest. So we are thin at the moment. You might be looking at a situation where you're putting Ahmad at the right, Greenwood up front, Dan James on the left. So we don't even know what we're going to be doing at Granada. But either way, it's worrisome because we got a big push of games over the next 7 weeks.
You know, it's Granada, sir. Come on.
You're not worried?
Go on the south coast of Spain. Get a kick back, relax, get a dub. That's what it's all about. Before we get into that, sir, before Hans and Franz drop that beat, we got to check in with the English Premier League table, the legendary table. So we're going to start off, man, shitty, sir. 74 points. Manchester United, 60 points, but we've played one less game than Shitty has. So, you know, you do a little pro forma. That's 63. That's 11. You know, saying there's a chance, probably not a chance either way. You know, we'll focus on second place, sir. I mean, it's tough. I thought if you kind of look at it, I think we could have eked out a few more wins. We could be in it. We're very close to a title race. You know, like it's very close, closer than you think. Leicester City, 56 points. Again, Shitty did us a favor by beating them. We are 4 points ahead of third. And then you got the Chelsea scum, 51, sir. 9 points to the Chelsea scum. West Brom, Ajavrian, Big Sam Allardyce. They love to see it. Tottenham behind them. Mourinho, 49. Liverpool, 49. West Ham, 49. Everton, 46. Aston Villa, 44. Arsenal, 42. 10th place Arsenal. Leeds, 11th. We all hate Leeds scum. But the most amazing part of this whole thing is that 60, like Chelsea are 51, Tottenham 49, Liverpool 49, West Ham 49. That whole thing, we're not in right now. That's as long as we're not there. Like 49, 50.
51, 52. We could be like right there, just like our neck just hanging above water. We got a fat cushion, dude. 9 points, eight games left. Dude, that's a healthy cushion. There's no reason we shouldn't finish the top four.
It's like not going to jinx it. That's all I'm going to say.
Don't say nothing.
So I'm not going to say nothing, but I'm going to kick my feet up. I'm going to watch those teams sweat it out and be happy that we're not. And when you're not sweating that out and you're trying to focus on finishing second behind, you know, a solid shitty team, that just is what it is. But, you know, I wanted to break out a quote here. From the great Bill Parcells, sir. We grew up in New Jersey, you know, Giants football, Bill Parcells, the quote famous, "You are what your record says you are, sir. And we are second place, 9 points ahead of Chelsea scum who invested $200 million in the summer, right? And there's a lot of negativity around United, but you got to judge it on the full season. It's a 38-game season. We've had our ups. We've had our downs. We are scraping the bottom of the barrel. But if you look at this math, City's won 23, drawn 5, lost 3. United, we've won 17, drawn 9, lost 4. It's those draws, sir.
Yep.
That's how close we are to a title race. You want to look at the draws, we can pull them up.
No, but don't I'm do telling it. Everyone,
but everyone's thinking that United are so terrible. This season as a total, sir, we're very close for this being a title race between us and Shitty. It isn't. It sucks that it isn't. It should be. But think about that. Like, think of how spoiled we are. We're like so mad that we're not in the title race when last season we were qualifying for top four on the last day. You got to put it in perspective a little bit, right?
We had to go on a run to give us a chance to qualify for Champions League at the last day, sir. So it was frustrating, I think, for most fans that we were in it. And then we just started dropping games and points that we shouldn't have for whatever reason. You know, we can go through the games. And that's what's the most frustrating is like, at least three of those draws we should have won, which is 6 points, and 6 points closer would be enough to at least be breathing room, like breathing on their neck that they're sweating a little bit more. They ain't sweating now, bro. 11 points, 14 points, whatever it is, they're not sweating, and that's where we wanted to be. But that being said, you're right. We're 4 points in front of Leicester. We're 9 points in front of Chelsea in fourth. We're in a good place to be, given that, you know, second place is probably the reasonable expectation for this club in a best-case scenario, given the amount of investment made, so...
Yeah, but you can't pretend and get this record. You can't pretend and get 60 points in the English Premier League. You have to look at, since Alex Ferguson left, only one other manager did it one season, sir. And like, we're coming up on almost 10 years, and you got to be looking at this team and these results and be like, yeah, we could be playing better. Yeah, we could be competing for the title, but that's the bar that we're at right now. And this is an improvement and a linear improvement over what we've seen. Now, like, as far as the manager, the owners, everything in between, like we weren't backed, all that stuff. Look, Ole, he's streaky to the up. He's streaky to the down. Like everyone's got their thing, but United over 38 games. If we finish a strong second, sir, you know that you have to consider that improvement because you can't make it up. You can't be a pretender in the English Premier League, sir. Look at where Chelsea, Tottenham, Liverpool, look where they are. You know, look at Arsenal. dude. It's crazy. And it's like to be complaining and be in second like we are, you know. It's hard to watch. Some of the games have been hard to watch. You got
to
say that.
They have. Today was hard to watch. Today was tough.
The nil-nils killing us.
Yeah. Well, the nil-nils, dude. I mean, some of the nil-nils we played better than we played today. It's like giving up sloppy goals but kills you. Not creating anything kills you.
But we shipped Lukaku. We never replaced him. And then we're dying for goals. I mean, like, come on. It's like, isn't that a riot? Look at no director of football. Oh, we got one now.
He's not a real director of football. Wait till this summer, baby. Let's see how much money we spend, sir.
Okay. Odds for top four. You know, I didn't say it. 538.com did. To qualify for Champions League. So City to win the league is over 99%. Obviously, that means they're locked on for Champions League. So the first position is gone. 538.com says Manchester United, 97% chance to qualify for Champions League. They put us on 75 points to finish. Leicester, they put 65% chance. And then the fourth spot, they give it to Liverpool at 57%. And then fifth, Chelsea, then West Ham, then Tottenham. Interesting, Liverpool are favorites to make the fourth spot, sir. What do you make of that?
I mean, maybe they got a little boost because they beat up shit Arsenal, you know, mid-table. Arsenal trying to avoid a relegation fight. I don't know. I would think it'd be Chelsea, given their run of form recently. But, dang, what a 538. No, sir, as long as I'm ahead of them in the odds, number two ain't bad.
97%, sir. I didn't say it.
That's true. That's not bad.
As far as Chelsea's running, you have to remember they're in the Champions League. They're playing Porto. They do play Man City and Leicester and West Ham before the end of the year. So, you know, they strength of schedule-wise, I think that is what's going to kill them versus Liverpool. But, sir, we got a next match. We're sitting on 97%. Hans and Franz, drop that beat.
It gives me a headache just listening to you do it.
Manchester United versus Granada, sir. Woo! It is Europa League. We are back Thursday night football, sir. How are we feeling?
I can't wait. Can't wait. We, you know, last opportunity to win silverware this season. We got to do it. There's no excuse to play like a champion. And Granada, we got a favorable draw, so let's take advantage of it.
Sir, we are playing them Thursday, April 8th. Noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern at Los Carmenes Stadium in Granada, Spain. As far as Granada goes, we've never played them before, sir. It's the first time these two sides are meeting. Granada will be the 11th different Spanish side Manchester United have faced in major European competition. They lost their first ever meeting with the five previous 10, Atletico, Bilbao, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Atletico Madrid, and Deportivo de Coruña. This is Granada's maiden European campaign. They are the first side since RB Leipzig in 2017-18 to reach the quarterfinals of a major European competition in their first campaign, while the last side to reach the semifinals of such a season was Villarreal in 2003-04. And Manchester United have reached the quarterfinal stages of a major European championship for the 27th time, progressing from 17 of the previous 26. They are winless in the first leg of each of the last three two-legged quarterfinal matches in Europe, sir. We got to switch that around. And Manchester United have scored 21 goals in European competition this season, with 13 of them being scored by either Marcus Rashford or Bruno Fernandes. Let's hope Marcus is back.
It has like a heavy Guts vibe, like Guts. Like, I remember that game show from back in the day where if they like did a 2021 version, that would be the intro song.
You didn't know Guts made the Hans and Franz actually made the Guts theme song.
Collab, baby.
Guts.
Yeah, I don't know why it reminded me of that.
Yeah, that was their first hit. That was their second album. Hans and Franz, they still rocking the goggles, you know, like those goggles that are popular in the 90s. They never gave up on that.
Holding strong. I respect that.
As far as Granada goes, they are ninth in La Liga, sir. Shipping a lot of goals. 49 goals against, 34 goals for, negative 15 goal differential. They've lost three of their last five. So, I mean, come on, mate. I mean, we should be winning a few of those matches. Their last five, they beat Molde, sir. Ole's old side in the Europa League. They had an easy fixture. Then they beat Real Sociedad, who just won the Copa del Rey. Then they lost to Molde, lost to Valencia, and lost to Villarreal. And we get them, sir. I mean, like, this is just cannon fodder, right? Granada should be running through them 5-1. This is the remember LASK. Sir, I'm thinking, you know, we should be just demolition derby, send in the kids, get it done. Now, unfortunately, I have a bad feeling in my gut. I'm going to see slow passing 0-0.
I hope not. You have a feeling they're going to pack it in, right? I'm sure they didn't pack it in when they played some of these teams and leaked that many goals, but the modus operandi against Manchester United is pack it in, force them wide. And I would expect the same on Thursday.
Either way, it's a European quarterfinal. Like you said, it's the only trophy we're in for this year, assuming that City doesn't melt down in the league. So you got to take it seriously. I want to win this one, sir. I want a final. I want a big final. As a Manchester United fan, if it's the FA Cup final, if it's the EFL Cup final, if it's Europa League final, I want a final, sir. I want a final. It's been too long since we had a cup final.
No, I'm with you because we deserve. No one deserves anything. This is a club that wants to be winning silverware, at least be in it. So it's been a while. Ole hasn't made it to a final yet with this crew. Obviously, hasn't won a piece of silverware. This is the one that I think would help show progress, even with second, right? Second, nice little Europa League trophy. Hans and Franz will be blasted in my neighborhood, sir, after we take down whoever in the final. Guts.
Yeah, but you're building something. You win the European Cup here. You're building something, right? Even Jose, when we finished sixth, we won Europa League. Then we won EFL. We kicked on to second. You finish a strong second. You win Europa League, sir. It kind of codifies the dressing room a little bit. Gives the, you know, they can do it. They've been there. They've won the trophies. You know, it's like Ole needs that too. I think a lot of people need it. There's been a lot of hard work, a lot of good results. But, you know, you play to win the game, and we got to get it done, Granada. A little history on Granada. Granada del Fútbol, SAD, simply known as Granada, is a Spanish football club in the city of Granada. If you know anything about Spain, they play in Andalusia. They like in Andalusia on the south coast of Spain, so they like their fish. They like to sit out in the sun and just absolutely chill. Andalusia, unbelievable part of Spain. Absolutely butchering it, sir. My Spanish is not so good.
No, you nailed it, sir. They love the siesta.
Andalusia. Yeah,
you got really, it, sir. Really 10 out of 10, bro. You nailed it. And they like, I tell you, they love the siesta because it gets hot. It gets hot in the south of Spain in the summer.
It's beautiful. I've been to Granada, beautiful place, sir. I didn't even know they had a football team. Unbelievable. The main shareholder of the company is a Chinese corporate desport. It's President Jian Lizang. The football club was founded in April 1931, so a little later, sir. Not a lot of history with Granada. The stadium, it's small time, holds like 19,000 people. It was built in 1995. It's the main football club of the city, plays kind of in the suburbs there. The greatest thing Granada has ever done was literally come up runner-up in the Copa del Rey in 1959. A lot of fits and starts, dropping down divisions, coming back up. But, you know, not a lot of history here. And this team fading in La Liga, we got to be like just sack lunch, sir. No. Just eat them up.
Sir, Granada's famous for the Alhambra, the famous old palace there. I think it's like 1,000 years old, and that's where most people know Granada. But so they're going to be coming to play because, like you said, their history, not a lot to it. They're not winning La Liga, so you think they're going to put a big emphasis on maybe taking home their first real trophy, first European, you know, trophy light. So they're going to come looking to play, sir. So either way, you know, you're playing a Spanish side, you know, they're going to have a little trickery, you know, they're going to like, you know, lean into every foul. If you foul them, they're going to make a meal of it. So we know what to expect. We played Real Sociedad. It's more like that. we just can't take it for granted. No, no big deal. Let's go. Let's go.
Physioroom.com. Mata is out for personal reasons. Phil Jones having a laugh. Martial, the knee injury. Rashford with the knock, sir. Other than that, those are the injuries. Who do you got in your starting 11 for Granada?
So this is who I got. I got Hendo in net. I got a back four AWB by Maguire and Shaw. I'm going to go Matic, Pogba, Donny van de Beek, Bruno, Greenwood, Rashford. Let's go. We're going attack. Attack, 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 baby. Everyone we got.
All right, I'm going to say De Gea in net, world number one. Get him back. We're going to Spain. Dave loves it. He's a Spanish keeper through and through. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Lindelof, Maguire, Shaw. I'm going to do Matic, McTominay, Bruno. I'm going to put Pogba on the left, Cavani up top, and then I'm going to put Greenwood on the right, sir. I think that is the move. You want to put Pogba in wide, Cavani coming in, dunk headers all day. They make – if you've ever been in the south of Spain, sir, you know, they're a little smaller, so they're a little, they're shorter. They're shorter in the south of Spain, you know, so – it's Cavani all day, dunk headers, back post, baby. Let's go.
Hopefully, I don't think the whole squad is sourced from Andalusia.
I imagine they are. I imagine
they're,
they are.
They're all like 5'6 center backs. Either way, we should be able to muscle them.
Did you not get the scouting video of Granada before we did the podcast? You didn't watch it? They're just all 5'5".
Well, then we should be in for good form, you know? I think Harry Maguire should get three dunk headers off corners. No problem. Let's go.
Booking the bookies. Granada plus 490 to win, the draw plus 280. Manchester United heavy favorites minus 160, sir. Given those are the odds, what is your score prediction?
I'm saying United 2-0. Clean sheet. You know, they play real compact, make it difficult for us, but we go there, get the clean sheet, two goals. Let's go. Roll on to the weekend against Spurs and Jose Mourinho's gray army.
Sir, I'm coming off a correct score prediction. 2-1 is what I said for Brighton. I'm feeling like I'm on a hot streak. 4-1, Manchester United, do it as they should. Granada, brush aside. Let's go. Second place, Europa League champions. Oh, I can taste it, sir. I can taste the bubbly out of that terrible-looking trophy.
I'm telling you, I'm going to be playing that Hans and Franz in my neighborhood, sir.
United in the news. Big news here on the podcast, sir. Earth-shaking stuff. Manchester United set the hand. David De Gea eye-watering payoff to lead goalkeeper exodus, sir. A lot of talk has been made of De Gea. Kind of came out like that Martial news today. Manchester United are essentially going to be paying part of David De Gea's wages, like Alexis Sanchez, to have him leave the club. And, you know, we saw Hendo start today. De Gea, ever since he had his daughter, kind of taking a backseat role, always playing Mr. Nice Guy. But something's going on behind the scenes, right?
You would think so. You know, we were talking about this during the game, sir. This can't just be down to form. You know, we definitely saw a dip in De Gea's form, certainly off the 350,000 pounds a week that he justified at one point in his career, and certainly to the highs of highs that we have seen him play at for Manchester United. But I think it's a little combo of, like, you know, he's probably not in the best form anymore. I'm sure the physicality has kind of caught up to him. It's only gotten more physical in the Premier League, especially in the box, especially offset pieces where we tend to be the most vulnerable at the moment. And it seems like, you know, he's wanted to leave for a long time. There was the fax machine incident. He almost left there, almost got to fill his dream of playing for Real Madrid as someone that grew up in Toledo, right north of Madrid. Like, he always wanted to play for Real. That would have been his dream. I don't know if he's going to get to play for Real now, based on the keeper they have. But, you know, a move back to Spain could be in the cards, maybe to another warm weather location. But this feels like a long time coming. You know, De Gea is a United legend, won the title with Fergie, was obviously brought in by Fergie, but it was always one of those ones where he wasn't gonna retire a Manchester United player. It was never gonna happen.
Yeah, no, and I think you're right. I think I love David De Gea. So whatever happens, it has to happen with respect. And like you said, what we were talking about during the match sort of got a little heated at times, you know, because I would say I'm in a pro De Gea camp a little bit here. I think we're both pro De Gea, but it's like he hasn't been. What the contract is worth, I would agree. But he hasn't made so many errors like a Kepa where you got to bench him. But I think behind the scenes, like his daughter being born in Spain, him going to Spain for her birth, taking some time off. It seems like behind the scenes, like something was said where like United told De Gea, like, hey, maybe that's why they brought in Dino this year, because they wanted to see if Dino could do the number one, and they told De Gea they would ship him like end of the season. Now, when you talk about shipping him, it's crazy because now United are going to pay part of his wages for him to leave. But something had to have happened because De Gea hasn't played – while he hasn't played like lights out, he hasn't been so terrible. I would argue as the center backs that have been the issue at United. So something else – like I'm trying to read the tea leaves, and I think basically De Gea is set to leave, and that's why Hendo's starting, because Ole has to see if Hendo can take the number one job by himself next season. And that's maybe why we were in for Donnarumma, et cetera, because if Hendo can't do it, then we got to make a signing. And that's just adding to the list of all the signings we got to make with, you know, that discount bargain bin Glazer budget. So Hendo's got to be the guy, and De Gea will always be a Manchester United legend. Last player to have won it with Fergie still on the team.
Phil Jones. Phil Jones won it. Yeah. I'm just saying. I'm just letting you know what you need to know.
That statement's still true.
Yeah, the last one player to actually earn it. I'll tell you one thing. We're not buying a goalkeeper this summer. We got plenty of goalkeepers. We got too many good goalkeepers. Somehow, what's his name? Who's the one? Grant is finding his way in the mix where Romero is like a very good goalkeeper. Could have been our starter all day long. I mean, the fact is, like, we shouldn't be paying nobody to play somebody else, somewhere else. You know, the fact that we're going to, like, pay part of his contract and he's going to go join another big club and probably get paid a lot of money, it just doesn't feel right. But that's Ed Woodward. That's how he does business. He doesn't buy players to make money. He buys players to inevitably lose money on that signing. So that's how it's done. It's just like, you know, we're not as good of businessmen as he is. He's just thinking five steps ahead.
It's insanely how bad. I mean, like the Lukaku, like you get paid, what, 20-something million? You sell Lukaku, how many goals has he scored for Inter since then? 60-something? And it's like we're dying for goals and our number nines are dropping like flies with injuries. Like, so we got no money. And then like all the, like, it's just the business that Ed Woodward does, like this deal and then trying to sell him and pay someone else. It's like crazy how this club is run, especially when we don't have a lot of money to go around. Next bit of news. Solskjaer rules out Manchester United Aguero transfer, cites loyalty to Manchester City. I mean, this one kind of surprised me because Ole's kind of wrong here. It says, like, players don't go between the clubs. And, like, yeah, they actually do. And they go from United to City, City, United, all the way back as early as the late 1800s to Schmeichel to Tevez to, you know, Mark Hughes managed City. There's a lot of players going in between. Now, if you want to talk about Liverpool, I think it's been 40-something years since a player's gone. So this statement that Ole made about Aguero and how he can't join United because of this rivalry, I think he's just covering for the Glazers, not wanting to pay up for somebody. I heard he might be going to Chelsea. That means Haaland's going somewhere else. So the musical chairs of number nines go. Cavani, please stay. Please stay, Cavani. We need you.
Yeah, that's where we're at. I wasn't sure if this was, we're not willing to pay you. You know, I'm sure he's going to get a signing on fee wherever he goes. I'm sure he's going to get a fat wage wherever he goes, which is fine because he's earned it. You know, he's a hell of a player. His track record, you can't argue with that. This is most likely he said, yeah, I'm good. We probably already reached out to his camp, and he probably was like, nah, I'm not going to United. You know, because he knows what's going on. He knows United isn't managed well. He's like, I'm good. I'll go play somewhere else and make just as much money, and I won't get shit on by my old, you know, fans for joining the. You can't, you know, there's probably some part of him that's a City fan that's going to be like, I can't join United. So,
well, he lives in Manchester. Maybe if he didn't want to move, you know, there's a lot of things. I'm not ruling this one out because, like, the Glazers are going to do a Galu Cavani signing, and Aguero is the best of that. So if we could do Aguero, I'd take him because beggars can't be choosers when we're selling Lukaku for no money and not replacing him and not getting paid. It don't make no sense. So, sir, you know, hashtag Ed Woodward special.
You might be.
We actually reached out to Aguero and he said no.
Nah. No gracias. You might be getting Lukaku back, bro, because I believe that if Inter does not pay all the money that is owed by the end of this season, he comes back to United.
No, yeah.
Yeah, he'd be thrilled about that, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. And Ole would be thrilled as well. All right, let's jump into it. Fan questions. We got a little interesting segment here before we jump into the actual thread. At Mighty Mike 2509 tweeted us, LOL, at NBC Sports Soccer, commentators couldn't sound more sad after the final whistle at USA Red Devils. And obviously, we're talking about you-know-who, Arlo White, talking about that penalty, their general demeanor about United don't deserve it, and all that should have been a penalty. It's so anti-United biaser. I tweeted Arlo in the past. We've got into it. I told him he's a B team. You know, he lives in the UK. He's commentating for NBC. Clearly, you're not commentating for Sky or BT or BBC, who I consider to be the A team, sir. You're a B team player. And that's why you don't understand the criticism fans level at you. But the funny thing about Arlo White, you tweet him literally right after the match. He's tweeting you back. Arlo White says, quote, if you think that's anywhere near a commentator's thoughts when we are at work, you know very little about broadcasting. Laughing face. What is Arlo White doing? Like, we're talking, this isn't like 2 days after the match. This is 30 minutes. Arlo is always tweeting back. He's got thin skin.
Sir, he's insecure.
Tweet Arlo White more.
He's insecure, sir, because part of him knows it's true. Because all I got to say is listen to Sky or BT, like the things you mentioned. They call a game completely differently. And maybe he's like trying to dumb it down to American fans. But this whole like trying to pick up on these like storylines within games instead of just calling a game. It's a football game. It's 90 minutes of football. Just call it. And it's like always like these themes and undercurrents. It's like, no, bro, just call it. You and Graham Lassau can like, you know, like wobble through this game and, you know, make it sound as poor as you want it to. But the biases like are so clearly showing through. I mean, come on, dude. Come on.
But I've never in my life heard a commentator say, from my angle and what I saw, that is a penalty. And he said that on the broadcast. And if you say that, it has to be a penalty. And VAR didn't even look at it. No, you know, like that is an error by a broadcast. You cannot say like that's a subjective thing that happened during the match. And he's literally saying that is a penalty, like a fan. And you're paid to be not biased. It's crazy that he said that. To me, that's like the biggest, like, I think that's why he's rattled and he's on Twitter, is because that's a gaffe, man. You can't say that's a penalty and it isn't.
Well, they do that all. I mean, maybe he's not allowed to, and the Grahams and Lee Dixons are allowed to because they're the color guys. But either way, Arlo is the beat.
No, the color guys are supposed to. He's supposed to ask the color guys what they think, right?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, but he's a dude. Calling him B team is generous, my man. He's like a D team. He's shit.
Hey, look, you know what? I said Arlo White ain't a fan of the pod. We ain't a fan of Arlo White. I watch Telemundo when I can because I don't want to hear. Because if you listen to commentary, it affects how you think about the match. And they're a little anti-United. I don't know why. I think you would want to be pro-United. Otherwise, maybe NBC Sports would be getting canceled. Who knows, sir? I'm having a hard time keeping track of that one.
Well, they also like, it's whether they're anti-United or like all about the Scousers, they're just certain teams that like they like go all about and they big up all the time and clubs they hate. And you know what? I don't know who Arlo likes. I guess he likes Leicester City, but United, if either you like us or you hate us, and I'm all about it. Arlo White, tweet at us more, bro. How many likes did he get on that? Zero.
Yeah. Hated, adored, never ignored. Let's get into it. The fan questions, appreciate all the hot banter. Just had to talk about that Arlo White. Tweet him more because he responds. It's like the funniest thing of all time. He'll actually get into it with you. At Jamal Mota, sirs, they should call us the comeback kids. Proud of our boys for coming back from behind again. Big weekend for us top four wise. On to Hans and Franz Cup. Let's go. # Glazers out. Absolutely love to see it. At T Zolski, at this point, a win is a win. Happy to see Mason get off the hook. Worried about Rashford, tip your cap to him for continuing to gut it out. Need the lads to rest up. The amount of injuries we have is concerning. No rest for the weary. # Zach Woodward, # Glazers out. Sir, what do you make of that? Injuries concerning?
They are, because usually you have international break and you can kind of lick your wounds a little bit. So we've talked about one of the things that Ole needs to do, and he needs to rotate. Whether he wants to or not, you need to rotate, even if you don't think you know, Matic is as good as his boy Fred. You have to rotate. You have to rotate because these boys are human and they've been playing a lot of games. He's got to do it. Final run of the season. No excuses.
At Briquette Mets, 11 points clear of fifth means that hopefully we'll be able to use our top 11 in the Europa League when it becomes necessary without worrying about the impact it will have on the league. Huge result. And will Mason Greenwood lead Manchester United in goals scored between now and end of the season, sir? What do you think? Rashford's injured. Martial's injured. Cavani's in. It's between Cavani and Greenwood, probably. Maybe Pogba.
Bruno. I mean, Bruno can always get on form in a minute. I hope so, because you know what? Bruno has done a lot of good work, chopped a lot of wood this season. So has Marcus. Marcus needs a rest. I'd love to see Mason go on and score some goals. And we know how good he is. We know how high of a caliber he can still hit. That goal today was special because that was such a poacher's goal. That was like straight out of Edinson Cavani's playbook. Like diving, header, sloppy, just get it behind the across the line, and he did. That's a huge goal.
Absolutely. I also think it depends where he plays. Like if Ole plays him at nine more and he gets more reps, absolutely. If not, he coming on the right, I don't think you're going to see him beat Bruno. But, you know, he has to be playing nine. At BryGuy666, quote, this team is truly bad for my health. Even with the lead, I thought we'd botch it at the end, but the lads held on. Happy to see my guy Greenwood get the winner. He needed a solid goal for a while now. It wasn't the sexiest win, but I'll take the 3 points. Devin says the same thing at Bohan Boy for Life. Quote, team did not play well overall, but did enough to get the 3 points, sir. I mean, that's it, right? 3 points is 3 points. You might not play well, but you win. You play to win the game.
You know, you're not going to look back as an instant classic, but you're going to look and say those are 3 points won when a lot of the other teams drop points today. That's all that matters. On we go. United march on.
At MJFit16, how thin is this team? All the talk about needing a center back when we need truly more attackers, right winger or striker, but what are the chances we spend?
Zero. We're not spending money. And we need a center back because Lindelof is also hurt. They said that. He left Sweden squad because he's hurt. He shouldn't be playing. But look, Bae's hurt. He's not a backup. Twan Zabi's the only other option. We need bodies all over the place, my man. And I think it's going to be like Lone City. What's Troy Deeney up to, sir? He can still kick a football, can he?
Sir, mean mugging. We need a little bit of that. Troy Deeney. At Darth Diggler, Swedish Val Kilmer owes Greenwood a few dark ales. I totally agree on that one. He should have got that header. Sir, this is a reality check here from at Rolling Deep 1995. No lie, how we lost today, I would have been hashtag Ole out. Although we won, I still think the manager needs to set the team better when the team needs to play much quicker. For now, 3 points secured. Granada next. I feel that there is a segment of the fan base that has not been impressed with the recent form of Manchester United from an attacking perspective. What do you make?
I mean, I'm not going to put as much onus on the attack. It's more, I think Ole is being a little soft on the boys. And I think we talked about it to a certain extent. He's not ruthless enough with some of them. He is a player's manager, for better or for worse. You have some big personalities in that locker room that he has to manage. You know, that other managers who have, you know, had a longer tenure with more acclaims we're not able to do. So he's not given the easiest challenge, but at the end of the day, you got to make halftime subs when you don't see it going right. You got to be willing to rotate. You got to be willing to not play the same players over and over again, because that's just how it's done. You need to freshen things up. And I think his reluctance to do so is going to end up costing him in the long run.
No, but you can't be day trading the manager of Manchester United. Like, we looked at the table over 30 games. I mean, that's a great result for Manchester United. You know, you can look at compare it over the last 10 years. You know, other than Sir Alex Ferguson, every other manager struggled even worse than we are now. And this is the best season under Ole. So it's just one of those where you got to judge them on a whole season, right? So if we bottle top four, we don't win Europa League, like, you know, I think there's worthy criticism there, but you finish a strong second, you win Europa League, you know, anyone who thinks that he should be sacked mid-season, you know, you got to take a longer view. It's unfortunate because as a fan, I'm not going to lie, last couple of games have been tough to watch, sir. A lot of those nil-nils were rough, but, you know, the whole season in its entirety and putting up what we've done and hopefully winning a trophy, I mean, that would be the perfect way to cap it. And the season's not over, right? So let's not get ahead of ourselves is how I'm trying to treat it. At Davey T _, quote, 3 points is 3 points. Did you really expect anything else from the lads from the first game back? Love the positivity. At Charlie _Ferris, first off, happy for the win. Second half was much better, but my God, we make things tough for ourselves. Totally. We grind it out. I know Fred runs a lot and works hard, but he's not good enough to be an everyday starter. Now on to Thursday and continue winning ways, sir. You were a little frustrated with Fred trying to play between the lines today. What do you make of Fred?
Sorry, you know what I think of Fred. But, you know, I don't want to call out individual players. But either way, I would have changed up the lineup at halftime because we didn't say anything that differently in the second half. I was like, you know, I went in that second half thinking there's no way in hell we come back from this game. And it took an individual brilliance from Marcus Rashford and then a scrappy goal. But however it's done, that's all that matters. But, like, you know, we need less of that, less of this just being pulled out of the hole by individual brilliance and more just like, okay, let's switch it up. This isn't working. Let's switch it up. Let's get some chances. And I want to see more of that. And that is on Ole. So he's got to be a little bit faster to pull that trigger. And that's my major criticism of the man.
Nope. That's totally fair, sir. That's absolutely fair. Oh, we're going to finish on this one. At Meacher 1024, never say die. Great to see Mason on the score sheet. Absolutely. Never say die. You have a tough day at the office, sir. And you still be able to win, get 3 points. Coffees for closers. Manchester United. Close, sir. It's very close to locking up top four, and that's big. And second place would be huge for us. And let's win that trophy, Hans and Franz Cup. Let's do it. I can't wait. Big run into the season. The American Red Devils will be here the entire way. We are four fans by fans. You like the podcast, you can support us on Patreon, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. Check out our website, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. While you're there, we have great articles. You can click on store, check out all of our merchandise, sir. We have a permanent Glazers Out sale. Everything Glazers Out is $9.99. Shirts and scarves, sir. Pick them up. The Glazers aren't going anywhere. We got to protest this ownership, especially this summer when they don't invest. I think they're going to sell, sir. They're motivated to sell. They want to get that big payday. And let's make sure they don't feel welcome on their way out. It's going to be a few years, but we got to be repping the green and gold at Old Trafford. I want the fans to be united against the ownership. You know what? And we got to be demanding they invest in this team. It's going to be a crime when we see this summer.
It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad, bad, bad. Last summer was bad. We didn't spend any money, really. And I would expect basically the same this year.
I think it'd be like 50 to 80 million net. And depending if you can move De Gea for up front or Pogba, you know, we'll see. We'll see, man. Hey, it's a long summer. We'll judge it at the end.
Just like the season.
You judge it at the end, you know, I've been judging Ed Woodward for a while, and the fact he still has a job amazes me.
Well, his number one job is to keep the Glazers rich, and he's been doing that. So that's it.
Sir, we've had amazing downloads last week. Thank you for tuning in during international break. Great Stanley Chow interview, sir. Thanks for that. Give us our top 10 cities last 7 days.
Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Number two, Columbus, Ohio. Dublin, Ireland. Appreciate you. San Diego, California. Lincoln, Nebraska. West Des Moines, Iowa. Excuse me. Pennsauken, New Jersey. Wrigglesville, Pennsylvania. Number nine, Ilderton, Canada. How we doing? And last but not least, Pottstown, Pennsylvania, sir. Appreciate all the downloads. All the American Red Devils listening week in, week out. Sir, it's going to be a big run into the end of the season. Let's finish second. Let's get Mason keep going, scoring goals. Let's get the boys rested up because of Granada. Here we go. South coast of Spain. Hans and Franz Cup. Winner take all. Let's go.
Thursday night football. Absolutely love to see it. We're going to boss Granada. Dude, it's going to be awesome. Let's go on. Let's win some silverware. Second place. Manchester United till I die, sir. Hated, adored, never ignored. Arlo White, who are you? As always,
kick it a blue.